My name is Anger. I'm all the rage. I explode onto the scene when you least expect. I threaten, intimidate, and call you stupid to your face. I ruin relationships, destroy marriages, and corrupt communities. When it's to my advantage, I go undercover. I'm passive and aggressive at the same time. I have many aliases. Acquaintances know me as bitterness, wrath, malice, and guile. I refuse to forgive and reconcile. Like hot lava, filthy language spews from my mouth. I'm uncontrollable, undeniable, and easily offended. I'm friends with murder, too. We love to hide together in the human heart. My name is Anger. Actually, I'm Ron Jones, and something good starts right now.
The Bible tells us to be angry, but do not sin. The question is, how do we do it? Hello and welcome to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. My name is Brian. Wherever you are, however you're listening, thanks for stopping by. Well, even talking about anger can sometimes make us mad. But as you'll see over the next 20 minutes or so, there is a way to manage anger without sinning. There's even a way to overcome it once and for all. Stay with us now as Ron moves ahead in his teaching series, Undefeated, Overcoming the Deadly Sins That Drag You Down. Or visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen on demand. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Subscribe to the program at Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. Here's Ron with today's Something Good Radio message, Defeating Anger.
Well, America is burning in rage. And people are taking to the streets. Some people are protesting peacefully. Others are rioting violently, looting businesses, defacing memorials, starting fires. The question is, why all the rage? Well, you know, the recent death of a black man named George Floyd at the hands of a white police officer in Minneapolis was, well, it was sort of like a match lighting a tinder box. I mean, just exploding in rage in our country today. Floyd's death, everyone agrees, is an egregious injustice and one that should inflame the righteous indignation of every one of us. More than a decade ago, ABC's 2020 ran a story called Anger in America. The reporter began by saying, "Anger is all the rage. We express anger about all kinds of things. Bad calls by the umpires, drivers cutting us off, long lines at the grocery store, our boss expecting a report by the end of the day, AIG executives getting bailout money." Do you remember that? The reporter goes on to say our anger comes from seeing everyone else as out to get us, or that we are not getting what we feel we deserve. Our spouse leaving a mess in the living room, our kids leaving toys on the floor where we trip on them. Do Americans have an anger problem? I'm in a series of messages called Undefeated, and we're talking about how to live an undefeated life, overcoming the deadly sins that drag us down. And we're looking at defeating pride, anger, lust, laziness, gluttony, envy, and greed, those seven deadly sins that emerged on a list back in the 6th century and people have tweaked time and time again. We're looking at this list. Today we're talking about defeating anger. And no, I didn't decide to introduce this message today in light of what's going on in our culture right now. This is why I always think God is so amazing. I mean, he even governs and schedules my sermon series. But what a timely message for today. This was scheduled months ago to land on this Sunday, and I'm glad that it did. Throughout this series, we're talking about how to live an undefeated life, and we're pointing to Jesus, and we're calling him the undefeated one. He's the one that makes us more than conquerors. He's the one who helps us live an undefeated life. And again, we're going to find through his words in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, he's the one that helps us defeat anger. Now, anger is not a friendly conversation. We all know that. I mean, I suspect that at the last party or engagement you were at, you didn't come up to somebody and say, so tell me what you're angry about. I mean, this is not a way to start a conversation, is it? We want to have happy conversations and conversations that are full of warm sunshine. But anger is a real human emotion, and it's something we want to talk about. It's also one of those human emotions that many people struggle with. How to get control of their anger. Now, not all anger is bad. In fact, the Bible tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, be angry and do not sin. There is a way and a time to express your anger, and it doesn't cross a line into something that is unrighteous. We would call it righteous anger. There were a couple of times in Jesus' ministry where he expressed righteous anger. He walked into the temple, not once, but twice, once at the beginning and then another time at the end of his ministry. And he saw the money changers turning his father's house, a house of prayer, into a house of merchandise. And you remember the story. This is Jesus who took the whip and cracked the whip and overturned the tables of the money changers. He raised a few eyebrows when he did that, when he expressed his righteous anger. He said, my father's house is a house of prayer. You've turned it into something else. And it made him mad. Jesus expressing righteous anger. Are there times to express righteous anger? Certainly there is. Be angry and do not sin. But let's just be honest. Most of the anger that you and I struggle with is not categorized as righteous. It's anything but that. Oftentimes we get angry at the things that we should tolerate, and we tolerate the things that we should rightfully be angry about. And maybe this is one of those times in our culture and in our nation where we should be angry about racial injustices, about racism that rears its ugly head in every generation because it's not about skin, it's about sin in the human heart. It's not about color, it's about the character of a man or a woman who nurses that kind of hatred towards another person. It's a good thing to be angry about these types of things. Fortunately, Jesus addressed this matter of anger 2,000 years ago. And his words read like they're right off the front page of the newspaper. Oh, unfortunately, the news organizations are not addressing it in a gospel kind of way. And that concerns me a bit. The civil rights era was rooted in faith. It was the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and pastors who rose up to elevate the sin of racism to a proper level and apply gospel solutions to it. And I think that's what's needed today. I reached out to my friend Stephen, a black pastor in South Florida, and others that I hope to have conversations with, because we as pastors, we as people of faith, need to seize the conversation. The conversation needs to happen in the church house, not the state house. Otherwise, we'll just have a state house solution to all of this, which may be another piece of legislation. But a law never changed the human heart. It's a gospel solution to this matter of anger and rage over such things as racism. Jesus addressed anger in the human heart in the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5. And beginning in verse 21, he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. Whoever insults his brother will be liable to the council, and whoever says, you fool, will be liable to the hell of fire. Now here Jesus is addressing what we would call unrighteous anger. Yes, there is a time to be angry and sin not, but here he's talking about the kind of anger that we would consider to be unrighteous. In the Sermon on the Mount, let's understand what Jesus is saying in the context of the larger Matthew 5, 6, and 7, which is known as the Sermon on the Mount, one of the most incredible passages of Scripture in the Gospels, let alone the New Testament. Jesus is talking about kingdom living. And as he talks about the standards of righteousness among the people of God who live by kingdom principles, he raises the bar on righteousness. He uses a rabbinic formula here that becomes familiar. He begins by saying, you have heard that it was said. but I say to you. That's a rabbinic formula. And he's not speaking against the law of God. He's not abolishing the law. In fact, already in his Sermon on the Mount, he says, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law of God. But what he is doing is he is addressing wrong interpretations and faulty applications about the law. So he says things like this. You have heard that it was said, you shall not kill, you shall not murder. But I say to you, if you have anger in your heart toward another person, you've committed murder. He says, you have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I say to you, if you have lust in your heart toward another person, you've committed adultery. You see, the Pharisees were all about behavior modification. They were good at cleaning up the outside, but they never got to the heart of the issue. Jesus always goes to the heart of the issue, because it's out of the heart that flow such evil and dark things as hatred and racism and pride and murder and adultery, which starts with anger and lust. Now we're back to the seven deadly sins, aren't we?
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, lead pastor at Atlantic Shores Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Listen to Ron's messages on demand at somethinggoodradio.org. That's somethinggoodradio.org. When you stop by, be sure to check out Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps, a free online discipleship coaching experience created by Dr. Ron Jones. Look for the Courses tab when you visit our streaming platform at somethinggoodradio.org. That's Starting Point, A Disciple's First Steps, where you'll discover what it means to be a disciple and learn how to train others to be genuine followers of Christ. Well, true and lasting change always comes from the inside out. That's why when it comes to the subject of anger, we've got to get to the heart of the matter. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, Defeating Anger.
So Jesus has this rabbinic formula going on. Basically what he's saying, back to the verses that we're focusing on today, he's saying this, and strap on your seatbelts. All right, get ready for this. This might sound a little bit offensive to some of us, but listen to what Jesus is saying here. He says, this is a correct interpretation of the law of God and a correct application of the law of God. According to Jesus, anger is murder in the heart. Let me say that again. Anger, unrighteous anger, that is murder in the heart. Now, Jesus is not saying that every bit of anger leads to the act of homicide. No, we know better than that. But what he is saying is that every homicide starts with angry rage in the heart of somebody who then acts out in a homicide. And he says, we got to go to the heart of this and learn how to defeat anger. The problem is, as I see it, murder is so common today. In fact, murder is entertainment. Remember the old Hollywood show, Murder, She Wrote? And all of the CSI crime investigations and murder mystery books and all of that. We have turned murder, something that should shock the human heart, we've turned it into entertainment. And maybe it takes something like the egregious death of George Floyd, this unrighteous and ungodly act of racism to shock our American conscience once again that the loss of any life by murder is egregious. I think back to the first murder recorded in Genesis chapter 4 when Cain killed his brother Abel. Just think for a moment how the first human beings reacted to the first murder. They had never seen it. They had never seen the blood of another human being shed. They had never seen life lost in a human being, a dead corpse. First time. Since then, it's just repeated itself over and over and over again. We're numb to it until something like this happens and it awakens our conscience. We have to be careful, do we not? That we don't turn murder into entertainment, and that we don't lose the sensitivity to where it all begins, which is anger, unrighteous anger in the human heart. Jesus also suggests that our words can be murderous. Whoever said sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt me, never read Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Because Jesus said, whoever says raca, meaning you fool, is in danger of judgment or hell. Raca is a quasi-swear word in Aramaic that means empty-headed or stupid. The term fool comes from the Greek word more, and it's where we get our English word moron. These were insulting words in Jesus' time. He says not only is anger murder in the heart, but angry words can escalate to the place where it leads to, well, something that you regret later. Today, some comedians have turned insult into a career. Don Rickles was one of Hollywood's funniest men. I love the humor of Don Rickles. But Don Rickles had a way of firing insults at just about everybody and about every, you know, racial background. And he got everybody laughing at themselves. He was amazing that way. He could insult your race or your ethnicity and you'd be laughing. And the very next minute, you know, it'd be the next person next to you. We've lost our ability to laugh at ourselves. Maybe because the tensions are so high today. Jeff Foxworthy is another one of those comedians that uses lighthearted insult to get us laughing. His redneck humor, all right? Will you indulge me just a moment? He says things like, you might be a redneck if, for instance, your wife's hairdo was once ruined by a ceiling fan. Or you might be a redneck if you married three times and you still have the same in-laws. Oh, my. You might be a redneck if your toilet paper has page numbers on it. That just sounds painful, doesn't it? You might be a redneck if a tornado hits your house and causes $10,000 worth of improvement. There you go. Or you might be a redneck if you think Dom Perignon is a mafia boss. Or how about this one? You might be a redneck if you think a woman who is, quote, out of your league just bowls on a different night of the week. I just toss that in because all of this talk about murder and anger is kind of heavy, isn't it? And we need to laugh a little bit at ourselves to take on such a sensitive and hard subject at any time, let alone at this time in our culture. Angry thoughts and angry words may never lead to an actual homicide. But that's not the point that Jesus is making here. In Matthew chapter 5 through 7, it's all about kingdom living, where the standard of righteousness must rise higher than the righteousness of men. In other words, it's not enough to say, I've never murdered anybody and never will. No, in the kingdom of heaven, if you carry unrighteous anger in your heart toward another person, you are no better than a murderer. This is what Jesus says. And that puts us back on our heels a little bit. And makes us say, search me, O God, and know my heart. In fact, the presence of such unrighteous anger might indicate that you do not possess eternal life. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 15 says, whoever hates his brother is a murderer. And you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Let's talk about the many faces of anger before we talk about ways to defeat anger. And here I want to go to a little bit deeper into the New Testament, to the book of Ephesians and the book of Colossians. Ephesians 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. All of the different many faces of anger. Colossians 3 and verse 8 says it in a similar way. But now you yourselves are to put off these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. I want to take these two verses and talk a little bit about the many different faces and many different expressions of anger.
You sometimes struggle with anger. Remember, angry words can do more harm than we know. Sticks and stones may break a few bones, but words can crush the spirit. Thanks so much for being here for today's Something Good radio message, Defeating Anger. To hear any of Ron's messages on demand on your schedule, please visit somethinggoodradio.org. While you're there, check out the Something Good Digital Library with more than 500 hours of Bible teaching from Dr. Ron Jones that will help you in your journey with Jesus. That's somethinggoodradio.org.
Some of life's greatest adventures take place on a road trip. Nothing is more enjoyable than traveling the open highway with the windows rolled down and the music turned up. Each town, each exit, an experience all its own. Hello, friend, I'm Ron Jones of Something Good Radio, and today I'm inviting you to take a road trip with me. You see, I'm convinced that reading the Bible is the greatest literary adventure you can ever take. But with 66 books, 2 testaments, and more than 600,000 words, it can be a daunting journey to attempt. That's why I wrote my 2-volume book, The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, where I give you a bird's eye view of God's Word so you can clearly see how it all fits together. All 66 books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation. So pack your bags and join me on the ultimate road trip through the Bible. You'll be glad you did. Here's Brian with details.
The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible, Volume 1 and 2, can be yours today by request for your gift of $50 or more to support the ministry of Something Good. When you order the print versions, you'll also get instant access to the Route 66 Digital Library, a $275 value. The online library includes electronic versions of the book, plus video sermons, audio messages, and downloadable sermon notes on all 66 books of the Bible. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to request the 2-volume set and to gain immediate access to the Route 66 Digital Library. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Pastor Ron, not only did you break this project up into 2 volumes, but you created what you call 8 different road trips, 5 in the Old Testament and then 3 in the New. So help our listeners understand the motivation behind that literary structure.
You know, Brian, categorizing the various books of the Bible into 8 separate groups is nothing new. They include the books of the law, the Old Testament historical books, the wisdom books, the major prophets, the minor prophets. Then we're into the Gospels and the early church, the Pauline epistles, and we finish up with the general epistles in Revelation. But when I first decided to compare the reading of God's Word to a travel adventure, well, it took me almost no time to come up with the phrase road trip to identify these 8 sections of Scripture. What I believe the reader will begin to see a little more clearly is that the books of the law, for example, point to the person and work of Jesus Christ as much as the Gospels do. That's because the Bible is one story with one main character. His name is Jesus, and he is the Christ. My hope is that by experiencing the 66 books of the Bible as 8 separate road trips, this overarching theme will be easier to recognize and understand.
Such a great idea, Pastor Ron. We're so glad you decided to share this important book with us. Again, that's The Ultimate Road Trip Through the Bible. Both volumes are yours as our thank you when you give a gift of $50 or more to support the ministry here at Something Good. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org, or you can do it over the phone. The office number is 757-276-1099. You can also mail your gift, P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia, 23456.
Let's go back to the words of Jesus. And the first thing he says is to pursue reconciliation. Matthew 5, verse 23, he says, "So if you are offering your gift at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift." Interesting words from Jesus here. He elevates reconciliation to its proper place.
That's next time in part 2 of Dr. Ron Jones' message, Defeating Anger. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis, saying so long and thanks for listening.